I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
A big hello and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. My name is Deborah Clarence, and together with my husband, Clarence Shashi, we are senior pastors of Destiny C3 right here in Malaysia. As well as of late, we've been appointed as regional directors over C3 mainland Southeast Asia. Some of you may ask, which countries exactly fall under this group? Well, the countries with the best tropical island getaways right here in Asia. Countries from all the way up north, starting from Vietnam and Laos, coming down through beautiful countries like Thailand and Myanmar and Cambodia, right down to metropolitan cities in Malaysia and Singapore, as well as our neighboring country, Brunei. So if you're ever looking for an exotic holiday spot here in Southeast Asia, please feel free to contact us and we will point you in the right direction. Today, I'm here to share with you a short devotional, which I pray that God will use to build and inspire you for the season you are in right now. So let's get into it. In Psalm in chapter 24, in verse 7, it says, "Lift up your heads, all you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I love that the psalmist answers his own question with so much of truth and so much of life. Who is the King of glory, he asks. Well, he is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of heaven's armies. Perhaps you're facing a battle today. And if you are, then take heart. It takes a battle to reveal to you and to me that God is a God who is invincible in battle. And when He steps in, no devil can stand against Him. No legion of demons can hold Him back. May I remind you today that even death and the grave could not hold Him down. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe that each of us are called to the kingdom for such a time as this, to open up ancient gates and doors over the nations like never before. I believe that we're living in a day and age where we will see the King of glory step in, not just into churches, but into hospitals, into schools, into universities, prison cells, drug dens, nursing homes. I believe that we may not have been here when those gates were built, but we will certainly be here to see them fling wide open for the glory of God. What are these ancient gates and doors? These are legal access points of entry between the earth realm and the spirit realm. In Genesis in chapter 28, we see that Jacob is running from his past. He's running from his wrongdoings. And when he tires, he lies down to sleep and he begins to dream. In verse 12, it says, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And that the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And at the top, God himself speaks to Jacob and he blesses him there." Jacob wakes up from his dream and he says these famous words, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Heaven has gates. Psalm 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." The presence of God is accessed through these gates. Notice, though, that the gates of heaven was set up on the earth. God has given the earth to men. We have the authority to connect earth with heaven. So who had set up these gates? When we study these, the land Jacob was resting on was the very same land where his grandfather had raised an altar all those years ago in Genesis chapter 12. I want to prophesy and I want to speak over every parent who is in ministry but is also struggling at home with a wayward child. You know, you may think your child is running away from the plan of God for their lives, but because of the altars that you have set up, the prayers that you have prayed, the sacrifices that you have made to honor God with your life, they are going to run right into their very destiny, right into their very calling, into their purposes. In fact, that very ground of rebellion and sin will be the very ground of surrender that is made holy when they encounter the King of Glory. Amen. Not just to every parent, but we as a church, we as a movement, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to build an altar that will bless and sustain the next generation the way Abraham built an altar that brought the blessing of God on the generations that came after him. The King of Glory wants in. He is given access through ancient gates, which are opened up through altars that are built. And here's the thing. As much as God is all about opening up ancient gates through this house, through the church, he is equally passionate about opening up ancient gates through this house, in our hearts. Because this is really where it all begins. You and I, we are the temple of God. We are the house of God. We are the gate of heaven. And God wants us to renew our commitment to build an altar in our lives so that he can be revealed. That we would live a life of worship, of daily surrender and commitment to walk in obedience to his word above all else. That we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and that is pleasing to him. You see, the thing about today's altar is that the sacrifice is you. That sacrifice is me. And at the altar, it's not just about, you know, God bless me, but also God mold me into the very image of Christ. Not just anoint me, but transform me, God. Not just prosper me, give to me, add to me, but also God, take from me, remove from me, cut off the things that have no place in my life, no place in my future. Friends, that is where true breakthrough happens. That is where true joy and true peace is experienced. It is found in the freedom where it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The truth is that there is altering at the altar. So going back to Psalm in chapter 24, you will see and you will find that there is a pathway to opening up ancient gates and ancient doors. What needs to be altered at the altar? In verse 1 and 2, it talks about how the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, how we all belong to him. The first step is to live under the authority of God. Notice when the patriarchs, when they build an altar, they were saying, "I choose to honor you. You are my God. I was made by you. You hold the purpose for my life, and I'm bringing my life into submission of your will for my life." Now, I'm sure all of us would agree that we need to live our lives in submission to God in heaven. But if we're honest today, every now and then, there is a wrestle to live in submission under the authority of God on earth, to die to our ego, to die to our pride, to put aside the right to be right all of the time, and to live in submission to one another, citizens to kings and to rulers, children to parents, wives to husbands, husbands to Christ, youth to their elders, church to its leaders. The Bible says that if we say we love God but we hate our brother, we are a liar. Evidence of honor and submission to God in heaven is seen in how we honor and submit to godly authority right here on earth. Scripture says, "For no authority has been put here on earth except that which God has established." And I see that God is sharpening out his arrows one by one, pastors and leaders, as each of us come into alignment with the authority that God has placed over us. We are not just going to hit our targets. We're going to do it with greater speed and with superior accuracy. In order to have authority, we must first learn what it is to come under the authority of God of heaven, as well as the authority of who he has placed here on earth. To open up ancient gates and doors, we also need to be committed to a lifestyle of purity. In verse 3, it says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." The beauty of the gospel is that God made a way for us to be cleansed, to be made whole. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And even better news, in Philippians in chapter 2, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." You know, in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah sees the King of Glory seated on his throne, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple. And in the presence of God Almighty, Isaiah recognizes that he was a man who had unclean lips and that he lived among others with unclean lips. And as soon as he confesses out loud his condition, an angel reaches out to the altar of God. It brings a blazing coal of fire, touches his lips with it and says, "Look, your sins are taken away. You are cleansed." You know, when I bring our kids to the doctor for a checkup, the doctor will always ask them to stick out their tongues. He's able to tell a great deal about their health by looking into their mouth. That is a story of spiritual reality. What comes out of our mouth is usually an accurate reflection of the health of our hearts. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Some of us have shut the gates of heaven over our lives because of the negative things we have said over ourselves, over others. Out of bitterness, out of fear, out of anger, we have partnered with the enemy instead of God and released through the power of our words the destructive lies of the enemy, that there is no hope, that there is no victory. And we've released words of complaints against God and against others. But not anymore. There is a commissioning that is going out across the land for workers to rise up to bring in the end time harvest. And with that call, there is a cleansing that is taking place. With that call, there is purification. With that call, there is consecration. And you and I recognize that we have muddied our hands through bitter roots. And as we come to his altar and confess our sin, our gracious Heavenly Father immediately cleanses us and forgives us. Friends, at the altar of God today, allow God full access to alter what needs to be altered. May we say, "Father, Permission granted. Have your way in my heart and in my mouth. Cleanse me and make me whole once again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. As full access is granted in here, full access is granted out there. And as we desire to keep our hearts pure and our hands clean, ancient gates and doors begin to swing wide. The King of Glory comes in. There is victory for every battle, for He is the Lord of Heaven's army. He is a God who is invincible in battle. He is the Lord both strong and He is mighty. So let's get ready, church, to welcome the King of Glory into our churches, into our ministries, into our homes, our families, the nations that He has put in our hands for the glory of God. Well, I hope this devotional has strengthened you and it has blessed you. All of us here at the mainland region look forward to one day meeting you in person, perhaps on an exotic island paradise right here in Asia. God bless you guys, and may His face shine upon you and give you peace.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor, and we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.